The five lamentations, or five laments, a better way to look at them, of hopefully Jeremiah or someone during Jeremiah's time. They're not, there's no author ascribed to them, but traditionally they've always been ascribed to Jeremiah. Focus on what happened to Jerusalem at the time of the Babylonian destruction. The Babylonians had been landlords, you might say, over Palestine, including Judah, for some time, for about 30 years, since about 605 or 606. And it was at that time that they first came through and took some of the people away, mainly at that time in 606, Daniel and his three friends to retrain some of these young people in order, their hope was to send them back as future leaders of a new and revitalized Judah that would reflect Babylonian ideals and values. That wasn't going to happen, but that's what they thought might happen. And happened again in 597, and at that time, Ezekiel, one of the sons of a priest in Jerusalem, was taken away. He became the prophet who spoke the voice of God in the exile to the people who were already in exile and those who came later. And then a bunch of people went at the destruction of Jerusalem to Babylon in 586 BC. Jeremiah himself was given the option of going to Babylon and living in relative ease and luxury, or spending the rest of his days in Jerusalem. He chose to spend the rest of his days in Jerusalem. That didn't happen. There were several different rebellions in Jerusalem among the very few people, and certainly the poor people who were left, all fearing that the Babylonians might come through again. And after a couple of governors had been killed, the rest basically packed up and left and took Jeremiah along with them down to Egypt. And there's a community that was begun in Egypt at that time. But the laments themselves reflect on the city of Jerusalem now devastated. And for the Jewish people, or for the people of Judah, but also for the Israelites as a whole, this was a terrible devastation. It is so serious that it's like losing one's mind and one's identity. If Israel was the people of God, God was living with Israel, first in the wilderness wanderings in the tabernacle, the portable throne or home of God that went along with the people wherever they traveled. And when the people got into the promised land, the land of Canaan, settled in, the tribes each got their boundaries placed, and David wanted to secure the kingdom as one of its early kings, and his son was given the mandate to build the temple. The center of Israel's identity was the temple in Jerusalem. Solomon's palaces and the palaces of successive kings were not the true center of things. The true king of Israel was Yahweh, and Yahweh's palace and throne were the temple and the Ark of the Covenant in that temple. So for the temple to be destroyed, for the Ark of the Covenant to be taken away or destroyed or something, or its gold melted down, we're not sure what happened to it, this constituted not just a terrible loss, but really the erasing of the people themselves in terms of their understanding of their privileged role with God, their missional relationship with other nations, the covenant itself from Mount Sinai, which echoed what God was seeking to do with them. All of this was now gone. And so we have these five cries of pain. And each of the cries has a different voice. Each of them has a slightly different character. There's so many similarities among them, but we'll look at each of them one at a time. Again, the first four of these are acrostics, meaning that the successive elements of the poems themselves begin with successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and that's why with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, there are 22 sections in these first four laments. Now, the fifth lament also has 22 sections, but it is not an acrostic. It's just like the others, but not in acrostic form, meaning that the beginning letters of each couplet are not successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. The first of those laments, lament number one, is really a word picture of Jerusalem as a widow, as a mother who's lost her husband and lost her sons or her children. Now, in essence, the husband of the widow, the husband of Jerusalem, the husband of the people of God is Yahweh. And somehow the relationship, the marriage relationship between Israel and Yahweh has come undone. We know from other sources in the Old Testament, including the prophecies of Jeremiah, that the finger is to be pointed toward the woman herself, that she has violated the marriage relationship. Hosea will later talk about this in terms of the great care that God has had toward his people and how the people themselves have become like an unruly prostitute rushing after other relationships, other husbands, other gods. So this picture gives a good indication of what the attitude or the intent of Lament 1 is all about. Listen to these words. How deserted lies the city once so full of people. How like a widow is she who once was great among the nations. She who was queen among the provinces has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night. Tears are on her cheeks. You see these words of a woman who's crying because her honored position, her honored place has been lost to her. Among all her lovers, there is no one to comfort her. She's alone. All of her friends have betrayed her. They have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. There you see the picture of the remnants of the people marching away to the tune of the Babylonian piper going over to Babylon as exiles. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. She's scattered. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, for no one comes to her at her appointed festivals. Thinking about those great songs of ascent in which the people of Israel would go up to Jerusalem, now no one is coming because Jerusalem itself is gone. All her gateways are desolate, her priests groan, her young women grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Laments carry on like that with this picture of Jerusalem as a woman who's lost everything, and now she sits in the ruins of her home, wondering what's happened to her children. They're gone, probably destroyed, and she herself no longer having any face or place among the nations. Look at these words. Her filthiness clings to her skirt. She did not consider her future. Her fall was astounding. There was none to comfort her. Lord, Lord, look on my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed. Yes, the enemy has triumphed, but according to the prophets, that was because the woman herself had not remained true to the relationship that she was in. This is why I weep and my eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me, no one to restore my spirit. My children are destitute because the enemy has prevailed. You see all of these synonymous parallelism couplets in which the woman has become a destitute person. Everything is taken away from the woman. She is alone. There is none to help her. No one cares for her. The lament ends this way. People have heard my groaning, but there is no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my distress. They rejoice at what you have done. Notice the indication that the one she is speaking to, her lover, her husband, her God, is the very one who has allowed this to take place, and that's all part of the covenant relationship in which the blessings have been poured out for many years, but because of unfaithfulness, now the curses of the covenant are kicking in. They rejoice at what you have done. May you bring the day you have announced so that they may become like me. And this is talking about the variety of judgments on all of the nations that have also been part of the poetic or the prophetic corpus, so that not only is Israel to be judged for her sins, but at the other nations as well. Now this judged woman is looking for the judgments of God to fall on the other nations as well. Let all their wickedness come before you. Deal with them as you have dealt with me because of all my sins. My groans are many and my heart is faint. Again, what's pictured in Lament 1 is Jerusalem as a forlorn widow whose children have all died or who have been taken away. And the woman acknowledges that while other nations have done this, and Babylon is the one most recently who's come in and actually destroyed the temple, the city walls, behind it all is Yahweh. That's that covenant relationship, that establishment of Yahweh's unique role with Israel for the sake of the other nations. And when Israel decided not to be or failed to be the witness of Yahweh to the nations, she herself became like the other nations and simply was lost in the turmoil of international politics. The reason for Yahweh's judgment is the woman's own sinfulness. And so the woman acknowledges that Yahweh is justified in these actions that have resulted in torture and pain and loneliness and helplessness, even if she doesn't like them. These things are the result of all the curses of the Sinai covenant now coming to pass in her own existence. This is the first among the five voices of laments, and together they form a larger package which reaches into issues related to our relationship with God of all times that we need to pursue more fully. But for now, these thoughtful cries of lament number one, and we'll take a look next at each of the other laments in the book of Lamentations.